In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
He was studying 1 Corinthians 13, which happens to be one of my favorite passages. Love never fails, it tells us. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
The mindset of the entire anti-university or multiversity is trying to drive home the point that there is no meaning in life. You are your own God. Do what you will do for your own sake. Pay us $40,000 a year to do it here.
The story of the changing of water to wine already has within it important references to Jesus' death.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love issues, etc. Bye.
I don't know what to call it because I'm not an expert in foreign policy. The definitions are sometimes rather fluid, but when I see Christians being killed en masse in the Middle East by organizations like the Islamic State, words like genocide do come to mind, don't they? Why is the State Department hesitant to call these kind of actions on the part of Islamic State and other terrorist groups genocide? And why is it important that they do classify it as genocide? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Thursday afternoon, the 10th of March. Andrew Walther, Vice President of the Knights of Columbus, will join us. They've submitted a report to the State Department titled Genocide Against Christians in the Middle East. A little bit later, our series on Christ in the Old Testament will continue. We'll be in Zechariah chapter 11, the flock doomed to slaughter. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. Our call-in number for the next hour for your questions and your comments, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio with a question or a comment, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at issuesetc. Our Issues Etc. comment line for our beloved on-demand listeners, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about a new report on the Islamic State and genocide against Christians in the Middle East, Andrew Walther, Vice President of the Knights of Columbus. They've submitted a report to the State Department titled Genocide Against Christians in the Middle East. Andrew, welcome to Issues Etc.
Good to be here.
Why is it important that the State Department classify these actions on the part of ISIS and other groups as genocide?
Well, you know, it's important for a couple of reasons. First, because it's absolutely true. That's what this is. Second, it's important because when you give something the moral weight of the word genocide, that really can make a difference in terms of people understanding that there are consequences to the actions that they are taking. And third, I think it's important because the world has spoken with one voice on this. There has been an enormous consensus and unanimity about the fact that it's genocide, both in terms of U.S. politics, where we have Congress people from both sides of the aisle co-sponsoring each Conrad 75, and you have presidential candidates on both sides saying that this is genocide. I think the truth really counts for something, and calling this genocide is the first step to really finding a solution to the slaughter that's continuing there.
Talk about the scope of the tragedy here. What are we really talking about when we talk about these activities that are taking place in Iraq, in Syria, in Libya, and elsewhere?
Well, I think what we're talking about, I mean, there are two ways to look at it. One is to talk about the numbers, but any number I give you is only going to grow, because what we've found is every rock we've turned over has led to more and more and more stories. And so the fact of the matter is, I think the better way to talk about this is the people. And these are people who, I'll give you one story, a woman named Kalia captured in Mosul in summer of 2014, locked in a house for about 10 days with 47 other people. ISIS would come periodically and attempt to sexually assault the women. She fought them off several times. They tried to drag a 9-year-old girl away to be a bride for one of them. She stopped them. Eventually, they threatened her faith and said that she had to convert or be killed, put a gun to her head, put a sword to her neck. And her response was, well, Jesus died for me. I suppose I can die for him. These are the kinds of things that are happening. Of course, there are the deaths. There are the kidnappings, the rapes, and the murders. There are all of the destruction of churches and property and the eviction of people from their homes in 110-degree heat, being told to walk across the desert to a town 70 kilometers away. But the fact of the matter is that these people are suffering something that is so horrific that it really could mean the end of Christianity in the place that is the cradle of Christianity.
And talk about the systematic nature of this. I mean, it's difficult to discern, you know, the organization of the thing, but it's hard when you're kind of looking at it from 25,000 feet not to notice that this seems to be pretty organized activity too, isn't it?
Well, you know, it's very organized. ISIS has said in their magazine repeatedly that they want to come to Rome, quote, break your crosses, enslave your women, and if they don't get around to it, their grandchildren will, and sell your grandchildren on the slave market. They have a price list for Christian and Yazidi women that has the prices by age for women that are non-Muslim, that are Christian or Yazidi by name. They have said that their followers should kill the priests from the great ones to the small ones, and that they should burn the Christians. They have called for the destruction of Christianity quite clearly. And the name of their magazine is their apocalyptic battle in which they crush the, quote, army of Rome and the Crusaders. I mean, there's no doubt that they intend to crush Christianity where they can now and globally later.
Not only is there a kind of a system of this, but it's also spurned all sorts of just kind of random acts of genocide, not organized necessarily, but commonplace. Talk about those.
Well, I'll give you an example. The capital of the Islamic State, Raqqa, Syria. I mean, when they went into Raqqa, they closed and blew up all the churches, burned the Bibles, kidnapped the priests, and basically evicted the vast majority of the Christian population, which either fled or was forced out. Then you have the same sort of situation in Mosul, where they go in, they're kidnapping and killing people, raping people. The entire, what is systematic about it is they are targeting non-Muslims, and that includes people that don't agree with them in Islam. Even if you're Muslim, it might not be enough. And it includes people that are not Muslim at all, Christians, Yazidis, Mandeans, and others. And so the fact of the matter is that the United States now, with the world having spoken out about this, with world leaders having spoken out about this, with countries large and small, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, we've had the European Parliament speak out about this. 55% of the American people think this is genocide. Only 36% disagree. Now the State Department has to decide if it will do the right thing and follow the leadership of the world, or if it will stand alone on the world stage and domestically as the sole genocide denier.
Now, the State Department has been sparing with the term genocide. As far as I can tell, it's been applied kind of sparingly to situations after the Holocaust, Bosnia, Rwanda, Burundi, Darfur, other places like that. Why are they hesitating here, as far as you can tell?
Well, they didn't use it in almost any, I mean, in most of the cases, except for Darfur, they didn't use the word in Rwanda to really, to their shame. I mean, this continues to be something that people talk about, was the lack of the use of the term genocide, as all of these people were slaughtered in Rwanda. Samantha Power, the current UN ambassador for the United States, wrote a book called The Problem from Hell, America in the Age of Genocide. And she talks about how the State Department always finds a way, some legal way, some other way, to get out of actually having to say the word genocide. And there are a number of reasons for it. It's caution, it's the lawyers, and, you know. But the fact of the matter is that taking that kind of a courageous stand is just not something America has done historically. And we still talk about Rwanda as a huge mistake, and there's absolutely no reason that that should be repeated. What should happen is the courage to get it right this time. The legacy of this State Department will depend in no small measure on this decision.
Does the term genocide commit the State Department? And then, in a sense, the State Departments of our allies and other concerned powers in the world to action?
Not formally, as I understand it. I mean, certainly our panelists today said that you are supposed to stop genocide from occurring. But how that happens, of course, is a discussion that, then subsequently happens. When you declare something genocide, you're saying this is a horrible crime that must stop. But how that happens and what the next discussion is occurs when it's triggered with the word genocide. And I think the fact of the matter is, for someone over in a terror cell working for ISIS, that killing Mother Teresa's nuns in Yemen a couple of days ago, they, as one of our panelists said, they're doing this with impunity because nobody is calling this serious. Nobody is saying this is serious and it has to stop. Or there's some hand-wringing, there's some, you know, feeling bad about it, but to say this is genocidal targeted slaughter of people based on their religion, that would take this to a new level and put those who perpetrate these crimes on notice that the United States and the world simply won't tolerate this anymore.
I wonder what your thoughts are here with regard to, just to put it pointedly, the tendency of the U.S. State Department to treat with kid gloves things that are directly connected to the religion of Islam.
Well, you know, I think that you have to look at two things. First, many of the victims of ISIS are Muslim, right? Shia Muslims have been targeted and others. You've had a great number of Muslims themselves affected by this purge of the lands under ISIS control. And I think the fact of the matter is that we've seen the need to call this by name, regardless, I think, of who the players are. And I don't think that we should, you know, get into, well, if it's this kind of a player, we can call it this, or that kind of a player, we can't call it that. That's not the question. The law is very clear, and I don't know that, you know, that there's a bias one way or another driving anything. What I do know is that the law is clear. The law says that when these kinds of acts happen with the intent to destroy another group in whole or in part, it's genocide. Who the perpetrator is and who the victim is doesn't matter. It's genocide. In Bosnia, in Kosovo, it was Christians that were killing the Muslim population of those regions, and that was genocide. This is genocide. It's not about who's the perpetrator and who's the victim. It's about what is being done to the people.
Finally, how would you respond to someone who says, look, ISIS doesn't care whether the U.S. State Department classifies this as genocide. They're going to keep doing this no matter what. The other terrorist groups there, they don't care. How do you respond?
Well, you know, I'm not sure that that's true because we have really looked the other way. And if we actually focused on this, I'm not sure that they would carry on with impunity because they would be on notice that that impunity no longer exists. As long as we look away, we can always guess what they might do if we didn't look away. But until we start looking at it, we're going to be guessing.
Andrew Walther is vice president of the Knights of Columbus. The Knights of Columbus has submitted a report to the State Department titled Genocide Against Christians in the Middle East. You can read this report for yourself at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Andrew, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
When we come back, it's time for Christ in the Old Testament. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer joins us every week for this series. We're going to be zooming in on Zechariah chapter 11, the flock doomed to slaughter. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Join us for the third annual Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 12th and 13th, to benefit the Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. Featuring over 40 vendors, home and garden experts, pet adoption services, and register to win offers like a big green egg grill from Hearthside Grill and Fireplace in Belleville, and two round-trip airfares to Cancun, Mexico, courtesy of Travel Express and Apple Vacations in Edwardsville. Parking and admission are free. Learn more at mehgs.org. Media coverage powered by Riverbender and edglentoday.com.
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at lutheranpublicradio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, lutheranpublicradio.org.
Solid, serious, substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. issuesetc.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
You've enjoyed our Looking Forward to Sunday Morning interviews with Pastor David Peterson. Did you know that there's a book with more than 60 of his Lent and Easter sermons, including daily readings for all of Lent? It's called Thy Kingdom Come. Find out more and purchase it online at emmanuelpress.us. Make Thy Kingdom Come part of your devotional life during the Lenten and Easter seasons. EmmanuelPress.us. Thy Kingdom Come by Pastor David Peterson.